I kind of promoted you a little bit here, and I think this is very interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to talking to you. But first of all, do you want to give us a little bit about your background? You've been in practice there for quite a while, correct, in Southampton?
Yes. I started out teaching as an assistant professor of medicine at Temple Medical School years ago after my training. Then I went into private practice, so I've been in this community quite a long time. And I practiced general internal medicine, and I had a very big, very successful practice with lots of partners. And what basically happened was that as a result of doing, I think, a very good job for people, you get lots of patients and sicker patients that required more and more time, and began to notice that the waits to see me were now weeks to months. The waits in the waiting room were hours, messages that you should get because of the huge volume of calls that a doctor's office receives. Sometimes didn't always get returned or weren't communicated properly to the physician. But I realized there had to be a better way to do things, and I learned about a type of practice that's called many things. Sometimes they call it direct access medicine. Some call it concierge. Some call it boutique. There's multiple names for it, but the reality of it is it's just good old-fashioned medical care that involves a great relationship between the doctor and the patient. And it revolves around access, time, and prevention, that in this type of a practice, a patient calls and they get a live person all the time. And that person knows them and knows everything about them. They have access to me after hours by my personal cell phone, so there's no answering services, there's no machines. It's like you're calling a family member. So if people get sick after hours, who knows them better than their doctor? And we always have coverage. I have partners I work with. You know, for vacations and things like that. All of our patients get a minimum of 30 minutes with the doctor. Sometimes it can be even more than that if they're, you know, very ill or we need more time. But everybody is scheduled for a minimum of 30 minutes. Everyone is seen on time. These appointments start on time. There's no long waits. Everybody gets an annual physical. So I spend a minimum of an hour and a half annually. And people say, oh, how can you spend an hour and a half with a patient? And the patients will say, what do you need an hour and a half for? You would be amazed how much goes on in the course of an hour and a half annual physical. Between all the bookkeeping, straightening out of medications, making sure that you may have thought your patient had a mammography, a colonoscopy, a bone density, a follow-up with their cancer doctor, believe it or not, and none of it happened. They got busier, they forgot. We schedule everything for our patients, so that anything the patient needs, my office takes care of. So when the doctor's office calls, you know that it happens right away. There's no waiting weeks or months for tests or specialist visits. And when I need to refer a patient to a specialist, I personally do that. So when the patient arrives, that specialist knows exactly why they're there. They have in their receipt all of their tests. We've already discussed the case, so it incredibly expedites care. Now, you're wondering, is there any proof that any of this works? There's a lot of proof. There's congressional testimony going back over 10 to 15 years. There's recent studies in peer-reviewed medical journals, and what it shows is that it reduces hospital rates, get this, 85% for people over the age of 65.
You know, I absolutely believe that. Everything you said is accurate as far as I'm concerned. I know how you wait in doctor's offices, and then they, you know, I had a doctor before, he's since retired. You know, he's got one foot out the door when he's talking to you because he was with a hospital practice. Is that what you're talking about? They allocate 15 minutes per patient.
Exactly. Well, you know, they've done studies on this, and the average, according to the American College of Family Practice, the average family practitioner spends about 6 minutes with a patient. The average internist spends about 10. The Pew Charitable Foundation found out it takes about 7 to 8 days to get an appointment with a primary care doctor in America. And we all laugh about socialized medicine. But in England, it only takes 3 to 4 days to get to see a physician. And what's happened, I mean, that's a very long discussion, but basically, we really do have socialized medicine in America. You have Medicare and insurance companies that completely dictate medical care. They dictate how much a doctor makes, how much a hospital makes, and as a result, how much time gets spent with a patient. Do you know that every 5 years, the number of people turning 80 doubles, and as fast as that's going up, the number of physicians leaving practice, or not entering practice in primary care specialties is declining. So that's the result. The patient suffers.
Mm. It's true. It's definitely true. Now, how about the mortality rate of the U.S.? That's kind of an interesting thing.
Well, you know, the World Health Organization tracks mortality. The people that live the longest tend to be in Okinawa, Japan, in parts of Italy, Sardinia. But the United States, for industrial countries, comes in 34th. So that means we're tied with Serbia. So we're spending about $2.7, $2.8 trillion annually in health care, only to not live as long as the people that are in Serbia.
Really?
And I think a lot of this is because there's no real preventative care. Now, even people may hear that and may say, well, my plan, you know, provides preventative care. What that allows a doctor to do is to annually take a cardiogram for really no good reason. Let's say a patient's not complaining about anything, and you want to do it for the record. You can do that, and you can actually get some compensation for it from the insurance companies or the government.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell a patient to get a colonoscopy, mammography, bone density, see their specialists, diet, exercise, and lose weight, and now click off a box on the computer, and the patient will probably never do any of that. But 50% of people do not ever go for the recommended screenings. In my practice, our compliance is basically close to 100%. You occasionally will get somebody admitted by virtue of age or fear that just will decline, but that's rare. And we track this. So our compliance rates, because we schedule the tests. And there are many people that are really afraid. What I'll do is I'll say, look, let me call the specialist for you, get them on the phone, and say to the specialist, look, my patient has these fears. Would you speak with them? And they do. And the patient
really
comes in and realizes that sometimes these fears are unfounded, and then they go through the test.
You know, you're totally accurate on that about people not scheduling tests that they're told to get. Truthfully, that's what happens.
Excuse me?
That's exactly what happens. I don't know whether it's fear or what it is, but people don't do it, then, usually.
But when the doctor's office does it, there is just study after study that shows what happens when you take an active intervention, but it can take compliance from 23% up to over 80 or 90% because my staff works for the patient. In a traditional practice, you have to remember, the average practice has at least 3,000 to 4,000 patients, and what I've been reading currently is they think that as there's a further drop-off in physicians and an increase in population, the average practice will be 5,000 to 6,000 patients. So there's no way any practice can ever do that. They're just swamped with phone calls and trying to get through to a doctor's office. When I'm meeting patients, and I meet every prospective patient for half an hour for free, just to explain to them what the benefits are and how we can, you know, help prolong their life in my practice.
Well, what happens when you get a load of patients? Now, you sound so fabulous that I can see people flocking to your office. Now, so what happens in a practice like yours when you get 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 patients?
Oh, we don't. Oh, no, our limit is capped at about 500 to 600 patients.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, we cap it. Yeah, I mean, look, we're not quite there yet, but there's a limit. Because, listen, every patient that calls who's ill gets seen within 24 hours, and 99.9% of the time they're seen that day. I mean, look, I started my hours today at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some people in the hospital. I made two home visits to people that really couldn't get out. And you've never seen people more grateful in your life. Now,
well, you're an old-fashioned doctor. That's
correct.
What that is. They used to come to the house. Used to come to the house.
Well, you know, you say old-fashioned. I think it's old-fashioned in the sense that we provide loving, compassionate care where people can come and they can sit and talk to me and open up to me and you get to know the family. But on the other end of it, it's actually even more high-tech than a general practice. I'm on the phone with world's experts from the University of Pennsylvania, from Harvard, from the National Institutes of Health. I've gone to the NIH for conferences to learn about the most cutting-edge technologies. We meet with people from large national cancer centers so that when a patient comes to me, I truly believe that I can provide better care for them than anywhere else they're going to go because my network is broad. I have several patients that I have relationships at the Mayo Clinic. We call the Mayo Clinic. When we can't solve a problem, we go to the ends of the earth for our patients.
Well, let me ask you this, Doctor. We're talking to Dr. Mark Rabinowitz, and you're a physician. You're, internal medicine, is that
yes,
it?
Sir.
Yes, internal medicine. Now, you said a boutique. You mentioned the boutique thing before. Do people pay you a certain amount of money for your practice?
The reason there's a small fee, there's certain things insurances and Medicare don't cover.
Yeah.
One of them is extended amounts of time.
Yes.
There's no way that you can bill an insurance company or Medicare for spending 2 hours with a patient. There's no, that's not compensated. We spend a great deal of time in actually giving people programs for diet, exercise, and weight loss. It's not just saying it, so that when I meet with patients where that's a problem, you have to remember that's two-thirds of the country is overweight or obese. I actually sit with them and give them computer programs, and, and there's different ones that you want to see which one works for your patient. Mm-hmm. We keep food here in the office so that when patients come in, they're provided with examples of healthy snacks, based upon a certain whatever their dietary restrictions may or may not be, or allergies, but appropriate snacks. We teach them portion control. If you came into my office, you'll see there's, you may laugh, but there's always an apple, a banana, and there's a quart bag that is filled with some kind of fruit. There will be pistachio nuts. There's even small pieces of dark chocolate to show people that you can have a healthy snack or a craving that's only 50 calories.
Mm-hmm.
But so we actively teach that. We don't tell people diet, exercise, and lose weight. You can do that, click a box on the computer and bill somebody's insurance or Medicare, but they don't compensate me for the money I spend on food. As a matter of fact, we have a program where we take patients every month, every 2 months, and we work with Whole Foods, and they provide us a registered dietitian working in their store who actually shows people how do you prepare a calorie-controlled, healthy meal. And if I'm telling you, it's more food than you can possibly eat for very low calories, and then we provide the science behind it, why antioxidants are important, what foods are they eating that prevent certain cancers. So when someone comes, the fee goes for things like that, because that's not provided. You can't send a bill to Medicare for those types of programs.
No.
You can't send a bill to Medicare for my staff that now works for the patient. They're now employed by the patient to personally make all of their appointments, follow up on all of their appointments, deal with insurance problems. So make sure that all the information gets to the specialist visits. For the large amounts of my time spent on the phone consulting, so that, for example, I spent over an hour with a patient yesterday with four different consultants because his condition was so complex that I needed to make sure that nothing went wrong with him for his procedures.
Well, I think it sounds fabulous. And I had friends that maybe they came to you. I'm not going to mention their name, but they did have a practice like this. They did go to a practice like this, and they raved about it. Now, how can people get in touch with you? How would they do that? And you're talking about a free consultation?
Absolutely. I meet with any prospective patient.
Yeah.
We spend half an hour. And, I just listen.
Yeah.
I said, tell me what's going on. And, because that's not what you get. Do you know the average length of time that a physician gives a patient to speak before they interrupt them is 18 seconds?
Oh, really?
18 seconds. So you can't really get a whole lot out in 18 seconds. So I give them half an hour. And I just sit and I listen. And then when I'm done, when they're done telling me what their problems are, where they need help, I then set out a treatment program, what I think might be going on with them. Remember, I haven't really established a doctor-patient relationship. It's a it's a free consult where I think the problems are, how I would approach it, and...
I think it's great. I think it sounds wonderful.
99% of the time they say, well, this is for me. And I think people are starting to get the idea of what a prevention-based concierge-style practice is. Boutique just means that it's small, so there's not 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 patients. There's a couple of hundred patients.
Oh, right. No, I think it's very good. I think it's the wave of the future, actually.
Well, I think that what it does is it provides people with an alternative. Because they say, we sort of laugh at other countries and talk about socialized medicine. This is a one-way street in this country. It's dictated by Medicare and the insurance companies fall in line, or Medicaid, and that's it. there are no other options until this came. Do you know that we're the only country on the planet that actually doesn't have private hospitals? Every other country has private hospitals. China has private medical care. There's two systems. Everybody is guaranteed medical care, and there are people that want or feel they need something additional or something more intensive or more personalized, and they have that.
But don't you think overall that we do have good doctors, good physicians, let's call that, good physicians? I think we have good medical care in this country. Why do people want to come here all the time?
Well, for some specialty care. I think we have great, but I think in the primary care arena, I mean, let me ask you a question.
No, I agree with you on that. Yes, I do.
Would you ever take your car to the mechanic and say you have 6 minutes to fix it? Diagnose it. You would never do that. The guy would laugh you out. So why do you think you can come to a physician and say, you know, my insurance company pays for 6 to 10 minutes, figure out everything that's wrong with me, go over all my medications, listen to my litany of complaints, and fix me?
Well, you know what?
It's not reasonable.
But the doctors that do take more than 6 minutes, then they're backed up in the waiting rooms, and it's awful.
Well, then it's backed up in the waiting room for hours, and the messages don't get returned. So what this does, this provides people that value their health care. And, you know, people talk about the cost. It's $4 a day. So you can go into areas of the city where lots of people smoke, and they spend $6 or $7 a day on cigarettes. They don't think twice about it.
That's right.
They don't bat an eyelash. I tell patients, if your cable bill is more than what I charge, then it's free. And, you know, it's not. Cable television is very expensive. People don't think twice about it. But when it comes to your health, to having somebody who's really there, you know, fighting for you to prevent you from getting sick and there to help you when you do get ill, I think that, you know, the value to me is just that it goes beyond dollars.
Oh, it does. Sure. I know that. Now, so tell us again, how can people get in touch with you?
They call 215-PREVENT.
Yeah, that's easy.
215-PREVENT or go online at 215PREVENT.com.
Okay, Dr. Mark Rabinowitz. We're going to be talking to you again, correct?
Yes, tomorrow morning at 8:15.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so thank you so much, doctor.
And, thank you. It was good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what a good thing that is. Hey, come on. I like that. I don't know if he said concierge and all. I have heard about this recently where people do pay a fee up front. I don't know what it is. I don't know what his is, so I'm not even going to mention a fee. They pay a fee up front, and then you have access to that doctor all the time. Friends of mine did that. I don't know. Maybe it was with him. I'm not sure. But she was telling me now that, you know, they just answer your phone calls. They call you back. They take care of your overall medicine. It's almost like a caretaking thing. I think it's wonderful. So he's going to be on on Wednesday with me. And then Thursday morning, I guess, with Jim Foxwell. That might be Jim Foxwell on Thursday.